My title of my preach this morning is a bit of a mouthful, but if you leave remembering this, then hopefully it'll help. Reconciliation to truth brings intimacy with our Father in heaven. It's a mouthful, but think about that. Reconciliation to truth brings intimacy with our Father in heaven. And the scripture that I want to start with this morning is 2 Corinthians 5:11 to 21. Let's read it and we'll move on from there. It says, therefore, it's the NIV. I thought I had the NIV. At 5:11 to 21. Sorry, let me just, I'm going to read from what I've got here. It might be a ESV. Sorry, I keep on making this mistake. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is an incredible scripture. And I want to focus a little bit around that. For me, the key phrase there is, who reconciled us to himself? He has reconciled us to himself. And this is by Jesus. And let's go. Have you heard maybe that saying, hurt people hurt? Have you heard that saying before? You know, hurt people hurt? Often when somebody offends you or something like that, you can just, okay, this person's actually hurt themselves. That's why they hurt. And I think something in us, when we hurt, actually, it doesn't only push people away, but I think in the same way, we do the same thing to God and his love for us. See, if we don't have a healthy understanding of love, we alienate ourselves from him. If we don't partake fully in this ministry of reconciliation that he's speaking about, even though he's done it all for us, there's something that seems to distance ourselves from him. There's a disconnect. We cannot actually engage. And it's because we're actually operating out of a place of hurt. There's something within us. So there's two scriptures I want to maybe use that just lay a little bit, provides a bit of a foundation of truth from us as we navigate this, being reconciled to him. How does it look? Because I think there's that scripture for me too, almost speaks about two. It's about those who don't know him, but then it also speaks to those who do know him, that are being reconciled to him. Let's have a look at this scripture, Hebrews 10, 19 to 24. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. It speaks about the curtain being torn. It speaks about what Jesus has done for us by his blood, enabling us to come into his presence. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, unveiled faces. Why? Because of Jesus and his death on the cross. He tore the veil. He's made a way for us. And that's part of what I want us to understand and grasp in this. If we don't walk in that, we're like not walking in the fullness of what God's got for us. And Nicola shared a little while ago just on that revelation she had on that. You see, Jesus brings the healing. He is directly responsible for that veil being torn. He made a way for us. He draws us near to himself. And if we have a healthy understanding of this reconciliation, and his healing enables us to approach him boldly, coming into his presence, de-arming ourselves of the things that might push us away from him. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, is de-arming ourselves from the things that push us away from him. So, how do we do this? We need to engage these things. We actively need to engage these things. So now that we can see more clearly, we're more easily able to approach him as we begin to engage these things. And I'm gonna talk about them, and I'm gonna begin to label them, and I'm trying to flow, be clear, and that you guys can flow where I'm going, see where I'm going with this. Hebrews 10, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened through the curtain. This confidence has been made possible by the blood of Jesus. And I want to emphasize that again and again and again. The blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by his death on the cross, it's made it possible. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So, look to the person next to you. Yes, you. Look to the person next to you and say this. Remember when we were in Sunday school, this is what we used to do. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen. That's cool, eh? So you guys can all go home now. Joking. It's time to walk in this freedom that he's given us, man. It's time to walk in this freedom that he's given us. You see, my job as I stand here is to point you towards wholeness in Christ, is to point you towards intimacy in Jesus, with Jesus, to help you have an understanding of how to relate to him and approach him as we begin to deal with these processes of revealing, bringing revelation and healing, or highlighting areas, sorry, bringing healing as we allow him to bring healing and freedom, Galatians, resulting, once we've walked into this freedom and we're taking hold of it, it results in intimacy with him, a deeper intimacy with him, a beautification of his bride, a more complete picture, maturity. I want to help us learn to interact with the Holy Spirit, openly allowing him to do just this. And I've got three words. So if you're taking notes, you can maybe write these three words down along with my heading, and that should be enough for the morning. These three words, reveal, heal, and ignite. Okay? So the revelation is the revealing, allowing the healing to come, and the ignition is the start of that intimacy. It's that spark. It's that igniting a deeper intimacy within us. So it's reveal, heal, and ignite. Those three things are key in allowing him to do this. So we have to allow him to reveal things to us. We have to ask him to heal us of things. And we have to engage in this intimacy once he set us free from, well, once we've realized the things he's setting us free from. So I'm going to go into a little bit more detail in that. How does this actually happen? Healing. So it's the reveal, and that's the revelation that comes by asking the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about how we actually do that. Then the healing part, how do we receive this healing? What do we do? Like, and there is sometimes things we actually need to engage in to actually let the healing come. Forgiveness, renunciation, repentance. Those are maybe another three other things you can write. So remember those three headings: reveal, heal, ignite. Reveal has got nothing underneath it. Heal has got three things underneath it: forgiveness, renunciation, and repentance. And then ignition, ignite. Yeah. Wow. So how do we allow the Holy Spirit? Let's first tackle the first one, reveal. How do we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal? Ask, and then listen. It's quite simple, but it's not. Because often, we're so busy asking, we don't listen. When we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to us, we need to be listening. We need to be allowing Him to speak. How would He speak to us? He may speak through a picture. He may speak through a memory. He may use people to pull alongside you to bring truth. But when you're asking, be attentive to the listening part, because I often do that myself. I'm so busy praying and asking that I'm like, don't actually just silence myself and listen to what God is saying. But really, what the part I want to focus on this morning is, how do we allow Jesus to heal? Because I think the Holy Spirit is very clear in showing us things now. And even as I'm speaking this morning, as I maybe elaborate a little bit on healing and that, He'll begin to speak to things in your heart. He'll begin to prick things in your heart and your conscience and things. And I want to open later possibly an opportunity for us to actually do that, allow Him to come and bring that healing. Because as a congregation, if we take hold of that and we walk in that, we're going to, like Gwen, that moment that she just had now, like, that's for all of us. And there's more for us in the Lord if we live that and we live in that. So the first of those three things was forgive. Remember, reveal, heal, ignite, and under heal, forgive. Remember, the blood of Jesus was washed over us. By His death on the cross, He has forgiven us. We need to forgive. It's a commandment to forgive. Forgive. When the disciples come to Jesus and they ask Him, how many times should we forgive the person that's wronged us, Lord? And how many times does He say? 3, 4? And Jesus looks at them, He says, 77 times 7. He's saying, you should never stop. You should have a heart of forgiveness. You see, the picture of that blood being sprinkled over the altar in the Old Testament is for our consecration and a complete washing of us. There's forgiveness. There's complete forgiveness in Jesus. Psalm 41, verse 3, it says, the Lord nurses them when they are sick, and He restores them to health. So who brings the healing? Who brings the healing? The Lord. Matthew. Then Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28 to 29, then Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Psalm 142, verse 7, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages the wounded. That's a beautiful scripture. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages the wounded. You see, and part of this thing of forgiveness is actually identifying sometimes the injustice that has been done to us. Then only can we actually apply God's grace in a situation. Can we actually apply it out and actually actively engage in forgiveness and hate the enemy for what he's done and not the person. Then we truly begin to forgive. Then we can respond in love with the grace that God has shown us. So just a few areas of that we need to walk in forgiveness, sorry. You know what I've done? Let me give you a quick example. Sorry, just hang on. I suffered quite a bit of rejection when I was younger from a relationship that I was in. I shared my testimony almost a couple of months back now. I think I touched a little bit on it. I got really hurt when I was young. Still young. And part of that rejection shaped me, in a sense. Shaped me in how I responded to my wife. Long before I got married. So I get married, and in my relationship with my wife, even just in the way I respond to her and the way we react, something she might do, something completely innocent and really nothing wrong with it, because of my past rejection and hurts, I would interpret what she was doing through that lens, broken lens, and I would either take offense or I would get hurt, and it would just heap on that thing. Because of my brokenness, not actually because of anything she had done. And that's part of this forgiveness, this process of forgiveness. It sets us free from those things. It lets us walk in freedom from that. And the second thing, this is all forgiveness. Now, the second part of this process of healing is renouncing. Okay? So, just give me a second. Felt like I was missing something. Anyway, this is it. Second, renouncing. So it's forgiveness, renouncing. Okay. So if you've believed the lie of the enemy, you've partnered with and believed with the lie of the enemy, it's time to renounce that and take hold of the truth. So it's identifying these lies that the enemy has spoken over us, that we believed, as we partner with these lies, we actually allow rejection, we allow hurt, and we allow things to be built in our hearts. And those things are, I don't know what's happened here. I feel like I'm missing half of my notes. Just quickly share something. Sorry, Steve.
Guys, I was in Mauritius on holiday with my dad, and we were on a boat and moving to another boat, and he said to me, just go and get all the presents and stuff we'd bought. And as I actually didn't do a very good job of it. And my dad had been partying it a bit and was quite drunk at the time. And he got onto the boat and he said to me, you're absolutely useless as a son, and I wish you'd never been born. And I can't begin to tell you how deep those wounds went and for how many years I carried that stuff and how long it took, even going into my marriage and working through. I knew my dad was drunk. In later years, when I mentioned to him what he'd said, he said, well, I don't remember it. Almost like, well, I've got no complicity in it. But the point is, I had to come to a time and a place where I forgave my dad. And I actually wrote a letter. It took 6 months to write a letter. I was going to a Christian psychologist purposefully on this issue, and literally took 6 months to write a letter. But when I wrote that letter to my dad, I want to tell you, I was freed up like I cannot tell you. But I came with so much anger into my marriage. My children, my wife, who had met most of their life, were scared of me. I never did anything, but they knew the possibility was there because of this anger that I carried inside me. And I think along the lines of what Ross is saying this morning is that you actually have to choose to forgive that person. Absolutely. Just, Lord, I know all the hurt, all the anger, all the baggage I'm carrying, but I don't want to carry it any longer. I can't contain this anymore because it's crippling me, it's crushing me, it's belittling me as a father and as a husband and as a man of God, so-called man of God. So I just want to encourage you that as we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about going really deep and choosing to forgive someone who's hurt you deeply.
Thanks, Steve. Okay. Found my train of thought now. Sorry, I had somehow one of my notes had got stuck behind another one, and I was like, that just doesn't make sense anymore. And I normally like to just share from my heart, but I've wanted to just flow, like I felt like I needed to flow through this very consecutively. So while, let's just go back to that first thing, healing, okay, and forgiveness. Okay, so sometimes there are these areas that are so painful in our lives, so painful that we don't want to allow anybody near them. We don't want to allow anybody near these things. So I did woodwork at school, and I was building a woodwork article, and my woodwork teacher told me very clearly not to hold the piece of wood and work with a chisel, and I wasn't thinking, I was still very young, and I was doing this, and the chisel slipped and cut my thumb. See, I've still got quite a bad scar. It cut me very badly, almost cut me all the way to the tendon. It was only a short scar about that, but I got like 16 stitches or something. I had to stitch inside two rows. It was quite hectic. Anyway, so I go to the doctor with this, and obviously, you know, I don't know if you guys could, I'm sure you guys could relate to this. You know, when you were young, you grazed your knee, anything like that. You just don't want anybody to touch that area, let alone your mother wanting to come and wash it off. You're like, don't touch it. The doctor comes into the room and he looks at me and he goes like, I'm going to need to give you an injection for that. I'm like, all right, I can take that. He takes this needle and he sticks it into the cut, into the wound, like hits my bone. I'm like, no, you got to be kidding me. Like, I was like doing everything I can not to let this doctor come near me. But that is a great picture, actually. For sometimes we have hurts. And we don't want anyone near them. Not even Jesus. Okay? Now, those scriptures I read to you before, I'm just trying to show you that God heals. Jesus heals. He's got the healing hands. And sometimes these hurts that are in our hearts, they won't get better until we allow Him with His healing hands to come and touch them. So what we do is we build walls around these hurts. And I'll get into that just now. These walls are actually built on the lies of the enemy. I had the picture of this. So these hurts and these wounds, they're in our heart, and we build these walls. Matt actually prayed about it earlier. He used those very words. Come and tear down the walls around our hearts. But we build those walls. And those walls are built with bricks of lies from the enemy. Every brick is a lie from the enemy. And we fortify our position, in a sense. This is not an offense. I'm not talking about offense now. But we fortify our hearts, and no one can get in. And I'm talking now about, I started with the ministry of reconciliation. But if we take part in this ministry, it's not the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of separation. I preached a couple of weeks ago how separation, how fellowship, being separated from the fellowship actually brings death. And it's not true spiritual life. So these are the things that God wants to bring. And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to come and He wants to bring revelation as to those bricks, those lies of the enemy, the things that He's spoken over us, the things that He's maybe spoken over you, and you've actually believed those lies. You've partnered with them and you've gone, you know, that's okay. Yeah, that's right. You know, we can talk about forgiveness all day, but if we already partnered with that lie, we might not even know that we need to forgive somebody. You know that? I can be preaching now, and you might like be absolutely oblivious to the fact that there's actually somebody right now in your heart that you've built a fortified position against by believing lies of the enemy. Either I don't need to forgive that person, or like sometimes not even realizing that the person has wronged you in a sense. And that's part of this process. We sometimes justify people's actions in our lives. These are often the people that are close to us that we don't want to we don't want to admit their shortcomings in a sense. Now, I'm not trying to point out people's shortcomings. I'm trying to bring you to the place of truth that people are broken. Forgive them. Love them. God's grace washes over that stuff. So the focus is not there. The focus is that we've partnered with this lie. And we need to take ownership of that. And when we exercise God's grace into that situation, we begin to walk into more freedom. Some people, I'm just going to give you a few examples. And if I'm, while I'm speaking, these things begin to hit your heart, later there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond. Absent fathers. Maybe you believed, or do believe still, that it's okay. It was all right what he did. It was all right that he wasn't around. It was all right that he couldn't provide for me. He tried. Well, no, I won't say he tried. Let's say it was all right. He wasn't mature. He was. We make these crazy excuses. You know what? You just kind of write the person off as that's who they are. It's all right. What is the purpose of a father? Actually, scripturally, biblical fatherhood is a picture of what God is to us. Provision, protection, identity, those are the things that a father brings into our hearts and into our lives. Now, if we so often don't even realize that these things are here, and we're just like, oh, okay, and we kind of move on. It's one of the things. Parents who were meant to fulfill their roles, but they didn't. And I'm not saying now we're going to go and, like, parents, you were bad, you didn't. No, that's not where we're going with this. We forgive. But we can't forgive if we can't see. And the enemy loves to sweep things under the carpet. That's the lie that he comes and whispers in your ear. Ach, don't worry about it. But actually, that failure on their behalf to raise you up in the ways of the Lord has affected who you are today. It has affected who you are today. It's affected the way you relate to people that you love. It's affected the way you respond in situations, react in situations. Friends, you've trusted. But the biggest thing for me is that it's actually, I mean, we've spoken about it before, but it's that father wound. Because God the Father, that's the line that it comes through. It's imparting identity and love, His grace. And we'll never experience His grace if we can't receive it. So if you've never had a father, you might be a good dad, but Julian said something the other day. You might be a good dad, but you've also got to be able to be a son. Are you a son in the house? Have you understood what it is to be loved? To accept His grace? To not work for these things in a sense? To do them because we love Him, but not to have to earn these things because you are a son? The other one that the enemy loves to lie about, and we never see this. This is the one we often don't see, is we need to learn to forgive ourselves. It's because sometimes, again, we set a higher standard to actually what is setting a high standard? It's works. It's trying to attain that which is unattainable, actually. And if we keep on doing that thing, it's because we're living out of a performance-based thinking. And often we need to, like, if we fall or if we sin or if we do something wrong, we're so hard on ourselves, and we actually are not able to forgive ourselves for shortcomings or failures that may have been in the past. But does God hold you to that thing? No. He's forgiven you. He loves you. But it's about living a lifestyle of repentance. So repentance is like the basis for everything. It's like, I love it. If we live a lifestyle of repentance, it's humble, it's humility, it's open, it's just like, man, God loves that. It's just that, that's like the foundation that He works off. But, so like for me, repentance encompasses everything. But we can't renounce lies that we don't even know that are there. We can't forgive people that we didn't even know, in a sense, hurt us or have wronged us. So really, that's what I felt like God was doing. And I'm just jumping off my notes now because this is ridiculous. Is that, like, for me, those were the three things. It was forgive, renounce, and repent. It's forgive those who we need to forgive. It's renounce the lies that the enemy has, that we've partnered with. So how do we, maybe one thing I will share is how do we know if a lie is a lie? It's a good question. Because if we've been blinded by it, I mean, how are we ever going to see it? So there's a few things. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us the lie and to show us the truth. It's the first thing. I'd start there. But you know, often, if you hold the truth up next to the counterfeit, you'll very quickly see the counterfeit. You know banknotes? You guys know what banknotes? You know banknotes, 10 rand, 20 rand, 30 rand. So, how do they, you know how they train, you know how they train bank tellers to pick up false counterfeit notes? They expose them to the real thing, like, a lot. So they're working so much with the real thing that all of a sudden they feel something's not right. And they actually, it's in the feeling of notes that they pick up that they're not real. So they're working so much with the real thing, all of a sudden a fake note comes across their hands and it's like, hang on a second, what's this? That's how they train them. But it's the same thing for us, is if we hold up, and what is truth? It's the Word. So one of the things is knowing the Word, spending time in the Word. Writing down His promises, taking hold of His promises. And when we hold them up to these lies, all of a sudden these lies begin to make a lot more sense that they're lies. It's even good, sometimes people come and help us. They tell us what these lies are. And we, again, it's back to that thing of humility. Is if we're not coming from a place of humility and humbleness, like that's how we need it. If somebody comes and speaks to us about something, we're not going to receive that. And sometimes it's even good just to, like I said, just write the things down. Stick them on behind your toilet door. It's that simple sometimes. Remind yourself of the truth. Especially if God showed you the truth and He showed you the lie, you write the truth down and you proclaim it over yourself all the time, because then you begin to live in it. And then repenting is just living a lifestyle of repentance. Repentance is great. If we didn't repent, it's identifying that which God has done for us as we identify our brokenness. So maybe this morning, I feel like I want to put this into practice, and I don't feel like I've done this justice, but just I know that God wants to do something in this congregation, in this. And it actually doesn't matter if I've done as well or not. The Holy Spirit is at work. It helps sometimes, but He's at work. And I think you've heard my heart. I think you've heard what I'm saying. And if we, for us to walk into more maturity and more freedom and more intimacy with Him, this is something that He's doing in us as a congregation. I asked Him at the beginning of the week, I said, Lord, what am I, like, what do you want to do this week? What do you want to do on Sunday? I want to start preparing already at the beginning of the week. And it became very evident to me that this is what He's doing in our congregation. We had a deacon's meeting on Friday night, and I had told very few people about this. It starts coming up in the way people are praying, what they're praying. Praying outside, yeah, this morning even. Gwen coming to share. God is definitely doing something. Definitely doing something in this. So if I've said something this morning, maybe it's a thing of father wounds, actually. Maybe it specifically is that thing. But I'm not going to make it exclusive to that thing. Maybe as I've been sharing, I've exposed, there's some sort of a lie has been exposed. And you may have been believing it your whole life, and you may have been justifying it. I mean, all of a sudden you've realized, the scales have just fallen off, you realize, hang on a second, this is not truth. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I want to give you an opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I want to renounce that lie. I want to choose to forgive that person. I want to live a lifestyle of repentance and intimacy with You. I want to give you an opportunity this morning, that because that's all of us, all the time, actually. So without making it weird or awkward, if the Holy Spirit has been poking at your heart, be bold and stand, because I want to pray with you. And I would ask those that are maybe around you that aren't standing, just to reach out to those that are standing.